Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I've been a little overwhelmed in researching the Trinity this week. It's not the easiest of concepts to understand when you get into the complexity of it, but everybody seems to have their way of trying to explain it, whether it's through an egg, whether it's through thinking of the Trinity as water that comes in vapor, that comes in liquid and comes in solid, whether it's in this crazy box concept that I have that I've never seen come to fruition, that which way you look at it determines a different shape, but it's all one box. Everybody has different names for it, whether it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. There's some really crazy names I've heard out there that people have labeled for each of these. But everybody has their way of trying to explain how is it that God has these three parts and what is the relationship that they have to one another. Well, I will tell you, it is complex. It is one of those mysteries that unfortunately is not really explained in the Bible. The word Trinity is not anywhere found in the Bible. And so if you've wondered where this has come from, it is actually what we call extra-biblical. It comes from after the Bible. It's been a very debated concept. In the very early church, in the early hundreds, the church was trying to figure out the Trinity, and at the same time, they were trying to write creeds for the church, these faith statements that would be used for the church to be able to say, this is what we believe together. We find several of those in our hymnals in the 880s, 880 through like 886, somewhere in there we find them. Two of the most popular being the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. If you haven't heard of either of these, I invite you at some point when your mind is wandering to pick up your hymnal and look from 880 to 886 and read one of these creeds. But in the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, they had these councils that got together of church leaders, of theologians, of very respected people, and they said, we're going to write these creeds. And where they got hung up was on the concept of the Trinity. In particular, they had trouble agreeing upon whether the Trinity was all there from the very beginning or whether one part of the Trinity came before another part. In particular, did God the Father and Christ the Son precede the Holy Spirit? And they couldn't agree on this. And if you go to those two creeds, you'll see that in one creed, it said the Holy Spirit who was preceded by the Father and the Son. And then you go to the second creed that's in there, and it doesn't have that language because they no longer agreed upon the Holy Spirit coming later. So you see, this has been a pretty debated topic about this Trinity. How do we understand this concept? Who's within it, and how are they related? So we begin with God. Often called the Father, often called the Creator, often called the first person of the Trinity, if you'd like to call God a person. So who is God? God is the Creator. God is the one that made the earth, made the universe, and made all that was in it, including us. God is continually creating. As you look around you and you see new life springing forth from the earth, if you go on Facebook like me and you see brand new little baby pictures, you see that God is in this continual process of creating, this continual process of making new things and new wonders for us to enjoy. God is the ultimate creator. But then we see that we've got this Son, right? God who said, I love my creation so much, I can't stand to have this broken relationship, so I am going to send myself in the form of a human being to live on this earth, to fulfill the law and repair the relationship between me and my creation. And so here Jesus came for 33 years, God bound in human form upon this earth. To do what? Number one, to teach us. Number two, to show the power of God through the miracles and wonders that he did. But number three, to save us. Why to save us? So that Jesus could be the bridge that is built between us and God, to be our way to the Father. God says, this is my gift to you. Here it is in the form of what I call my son, but it is me as Savior. You see, Savior is God as Savior. He is still fully God. But then Jesus, as he was on this earth, he kept promising, saying, you know, my time is going to be limited. Human existence is limited. We know this. I will only be here so long, and then I will need to leave this earth and return to be with my Father, because we are not intended to be apart. But when I leave, I will leave a piece of me and my Father behind. I will leave what's called the Counselor. I will leave what's called the Advocate. I will leave what's called the Sustainer. I will leave what is called the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And here's another gift of God. God says, now I dwell within one human form in Jesus, but when he leaves, then I will dwell in every human life that invites me in. This bridge has been built. The relationship has been healed and repaired. And now I desire to dwell in you. We are each an embodiment of God's presence. So I look at the scripture this morning. I look at this passage in Romans, and as I think over the Trinity, I get stuck on this one line that says, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God, and goes on to talk about our suffering into perseverance, and perseverance into character, and character into hope. And God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And I make this realization, no matter how complex the Trinity might be, and trying to figure out how these three parts are related, of how they're completely three separate, but completely one in the same. And all these illustrations that I try to come up with to try to put it into words that we could understand. And what I needed to understand is I looked at all of this is within the Genesis story of creation. When God got to the day where God created human beings, and what God said was, I create them not in my image, but God said, I create them in our image. God says, I create them in the image of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I had to think about that one, of the realization that we are not just God the Father's image, but that we are also God the Savior's image, and we are God the Sustainer's image. And I had to think, now what does that mean? I've always thought of us as God's image, and the realization, all right, I'm not junk if I'm created in God's image. All right, the pressure that I'm God's image and how I behave in this world, but now you're going to take it threefold. What does this mean? Well, number one, it means we are all creators. We are all creators. We are all constantly creating in some way. I don't know if you're an artistic type creator or a baking, cooking type of creator or a building type of creator or a repairing type of creator or a new relationships type of creator or inventions type of creator or whatnot. There are thousands of kinds of creators. Think about what you do in your daily life, and you can come up with some way that you are creating or making something new, whether physically and tangibly, or between individuals and people. I know for me, I loved this week. I got to sit and sew with my kids and bake with my kids and do art with my kids. And I had to stop and think, wait a second. This is us behaving in the image of God the Creator as we are using our imaginations and as we are making things. If you go outside and you are planting things, you are being God the Creator. If you go to your work and there's something new that is produced within your day, you are being God, the Creator. And so I invite you to think about where it is that you are creating, where it is that you are making things upon this earth. But then we look into that second part of the Trinity. We look into the Son, we look into the Savior, also known as the Redeemer. And what is the Redeemer? But the Redeemer is the grace giver. He was the way for us to receive God's grace. that allows us to be forgiven and allows us to have a second chance and a new beginning in this life. And we are made in that image. We are made in the image of redeemers. We are made in the image to be able to go out and offer grace to people, to be a vessel for forgiveness, to be a vessel for redemption, to be a vessel for new beginnings. I don't know how many of you took manna bags and were able to give a manna bag to somebody and were able to experience grace in that moment as humanity was restored. I actually gave out 4 different gifts to people in the last week, and the look on their face of excitement and wonder was grace filling in that moment of seeing God working. When somebody is offered a second chance, when somebody who believes that they are not worth it are told that they are worth it, when somebody is offered a moment of their humanity restored, we are acting in the image of God the Redeemer, God the Grace Giver, and that is a gift that God gives us to be able to be in that image. But then I look at this third, the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer, the Advocate, the Counselor. I don't know if you drive a car like me, but I can only go so many miles and then I gotta go back to the gas station. Some of you might have to go back to the plug to plug it in if you've moved to an electric car. I don't know about you, but I know me. I can only go so long without eating before I have to take more food in. Otherwise, my body gets upset with me. We are people that know what it means to have to be refilled, to have to recharge, to have to plug the phone in at the end of the day to restore the battery. We know what this concept is. And that is the spiritual act of the Holy Spirit within us that says, I refill you, I refuel you, I give you what you need for this journey. The Holy Spirit that says, I get to be God's presence in you that gives you what you need. And we, again, are made in God's image of the Sustainer, the Refiller, the ones that are able to offer hope, the ones that are able to offer healing through our touch and through our prayers and through our words, able to be the presence of God eternal on this earth like the Holy Spirit that uplifts people and renews them. You see, we are not created in a simple, singular image, but we celebrate a triune God and a triune image that is within us. I challenge you this week to go out and think about how it is that you are being a creator, how it is that you are being a redeemer, and how it is that you are being a sustainer in this world, and to give God thanks for all 3 of those gifts that He has given you. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, you are not always an easy concept to understand. You are not an easy concept to put into words of how infinite you are, how powerful you are, how all-knowing you are, but how you are able to be 3, but also 1. We give you thanks for each of the parts of the Trinity, that you are not just God the Creator who created and then stepped back and just watched what happened, but that you are also God the Redeemer that says, I come to save you and to give you new life. And then with that new life, you said, I am God the Sustainer. That now that we are repaired, I do not want to leave, but I want to keep my presence with you. For each of these gifts, we give you our thanks. And we ask that through that presence, through that Holy Spirit, you help us to see how we are made in your triune image, made to do all that you do within this earth as creators, redeemers, and sustainers ourselves. For all of this, we give you our mighty thanks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.